Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another Bible Study. And I will play a short selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening.
Gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God you can't hurt.
What a beautiful way to start off the program.
And now
our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise.
Thank you.
How are you this evening?
God bless you. I'm doing great. Thank you. Praise God. Yes.
Amen.
So, thank God the system is up and working.
Amen to that.
Yes. Okay, let's open up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we magnify your name, Lord God.
Yes,
we lift you up high, Lord God. There is none other before you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, for loving us so much, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord God, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for our righteousness, Lord God. Because, Lord God, without you and without the blood of Jesus, we're just filthy rags. But we thank you and praise you, Lord God, because we receive your love. We receive the joy that you give us, Lord God, each and every day. So we thank you again, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you, Father, to be in the midst of this Bible study class, Lord God. We do pray for the increase, Lord God, that others will come to know you as we do this lesson, talk through the Bible, Lord God. Lord God, we just pray because we know that you are in control of everything, Lord God. You're in control of this class, Lord God. You're in control of the radio waves, Lord God, where this program goes out through, Lord God. And we just ask you and praying, Lord God, that you just take control, Lord God, and you allow us to be able to minister to others, Lord God, who may need to hear this word. And we call on the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up my mouth, Lord God, that I am bringing forth, Lord, what it is that you want me to bring forth, and in a way, Lord God, that is pleasing to you.
Yes.
And that those who hear the word, Lord God, receive it in the way you want them to receive it, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
So that it can be each and every one of our lives. We already thank you, Lord. We know that you are working totally, constantly behind the scenes on our behalf. So
yes.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I think up to the end of this, right? Paul appealed.
Yes.
To have the key, right? And it's all in chapter 4. And I'm going to have us read chapter 4. But let's just read what it says here first.
Okay.
So, series of exhortations. Paul urges the Philippians to have peace with the brethren by living a lifestyle of unity, prayerful dependence, and holiness. In chapter 4, and we'll see verses 4 through 9, because we're going to read all of chapter 4.
Amen.
Paul describes the secret of having the peace of God as well as peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
He then rejoices over their gift, but explains that the power of Christ enables him to live above his circumstances. This joyous letter from prison closes with greetings and benedictions. So, this in half, if you want, I don't know how many verses is it. Philippians.
Philippians. I already went to Colossians. I don't know why. Okay, Romans, Philippians, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians. 2.
Those are verse 23.
Okay. Yeah, we're good.
You want to read the first 10, and then I'll take
it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about that. It flipped from my hand. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 4. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work, joy and giving. Now I appear to, how you pronounce that?
Euodia
and
Synthetic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. Oh, they're women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. This peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I'll take 10.
Okay.
How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again.
Yes.
I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, but I have learned to be content with whatever I have.
Amen.
I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little.
Mm-hmm.
I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news,
mm-hmm.
and then traveled on to Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more.
Mm.
I am generous with the gifts you sent me, Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And Paul's final greeting, give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greetings, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Jesus' household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. So,
amen.
So I looked up how to pronounce FEO's, these two ladies' names. So,
we are looking at how to pronounce the names of these women mentioned in the New Testament. How do you go about pronouncing their name? Euodia.
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 Second name is to be pronounced Tintichi. Tintichi.
Tintichi.
Tintichi. Man, where do they get the name Tintichi?
identity.
You older, yeah. You, man, yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, you older. I got that because the E is usually silent. So you older.
Yeah.
But identity. That's really interesting.
Chi. Oh, if you break it up, sin.
You can see it.
Senti. Because the Y is silent, so sentity. Sentity.
No, the Y is like an I. Sentity.
Oh, titchy. Okay, yes.
Sentity. Yeah.
Sentity. Well, I'm thankful for the plain, easy names that we have today.
I wonder what disagreement they had, because he says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement.
Okay, let's see. Address some relations. These two women had been workers for Christ in the church. Their broken relationship was no small matter because many had become believers through their efforts. It is possible to believe in Christ, work hard for his kingdom, and yet have broken relationships with others who are committed to the same cause. But there is no excuse for remaining unreconciled. Do you need to be reconciled to someone today? If you're facing a conflict you cannot resolve, don't let the tension build into an explosion. Don't withdraw or resort to cruel power plays. Don't stand idle by and wait for the dispute to resolve itself. Instead, seek the help of those known for peacemaking. So that's what those two ladies, you know, even though they both were doing the same thing, but they did, they had a lot of disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
But,
hello, boys and girls. Ready for him.
Yeah. Yeah, they have disagreements. But anyway, right, you will have disagreements in the church, but it shouldn't last.
Exactly.
You need to get over.
Yes, exactly. Because you're not there for your personal problems. You're there to help the people in the church. Okay. So we're going on.
Yeah, we got a new boy, too.
Okay, so we're going into a new book. All right.
Colossians.
We are in Colossians. Another
book. Paul's letters. Colossians is one of the most Christ-centered books in the Bible. In it, Paul stresses the supremacy of the person of Christ and the completeness of the salvation he provides in order to combat the growing heresy in the church at Colossae. Christ, the Lord, the Lord of creation and head of the body, which is his church, is completely sufficient in every spiritual and practical need of the believer. The believer's union with Christ in his death, resurrection, exaltation is the foundation upon which his earthly life must be built. Relationships inside and outside the home can demonstrate daily the transformation that faith in Christ in the walk of the believers. So, looks like also Colossians is four chapters. the first three chapters really talks about the supremacy of Christ. Mm-hmm. Chapters 1 through 3, and then chapters 3 to 3 and 4 talks about the submission to Christ. So we have, first we have the introduction of the supremacy in the first chapter. Then we have the preeminence of Christ in the second chapter, part of the first chapter, and then we have the freedom in Christ, and that's the supremacy. And that's the doctrine, you know, which is and then the last part is the practical, like what are we doing, you know, what you actually do, what Christ mm-hmm. does through, or what Christ did for us. So the first part, which is the doctrine, which is the supremacy, is letting mm-hmm. everyone what Christ did for us. And then we want to know what Christ does through us. And all this was written in Rome. Paul was in Rome. Mm-hmm. And it was AD 60 to AD 61 when he wrote this letter.
Wow.
So the introduction and the title. If Ephesians can be labeled the epistles portraying the Church of Christ, then Colossians must surely be the Christ of the church. Ephesians focuses on the body. Colossians on the head. Like Ephesians, the little book of Colossians divides neatly in half with the portion, with the first portion, which is the doctrine, which is chapters 1 and 2. And the second, the practical, which is chapters 3 and 4. Paul's purpose is to show that Christ is preeminent, first and foremost, in everything. And the Christian life should reflect that priority. Because believers are rooted in him, alive with him, hidden in him, and completed in him, it is utterly inconsistent for them to live life without him.
Mm-hmm.
Clothed in his love, with his peace ruling in their hearts, they are equipped to make Christ first in every area of life. This epistle became known as Colossia to the Colossians because of chapter 1 verse 2, which says to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Paul also wanted it to be read in the neighboring churches at Laodicea, and he says that in chapter 4, verse 15, when he says, and whenever this letter is read among you, see it that it is read also among the Laodicean church, mm-hmm. and that you also read the letter from Laodicea. So his intention was for it to be read to the two churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the author, so the external testimony to the Pauline authorship of Colossians is ancient and consistent. And the internal evidence also is very good. It not only claims to be written by Paul, but the personal details and close parallels with Ephesians and Philemon make the case even stronger. Nevertheless, the authenticity of this letter has been challenged on the internal grounds of vocabulary and thought. In its four chapters, Colossians uses 55 Greek words that do not appear in Paul's other epistles. However, Paul commands a wide vocabulary, and the circumstances and subject of this epistle, especially the references to Colossian heresy, accounts for these additional words. The high Christology of Colossians has been compared to John's later concept that Christ is the Logos, which is the Word, that Christ is the Word. And we see that in John 1 through 18. With the conclusion that these concepts were too late for Paul's time. Let me do that again. The Christology of Colossians has been compared to John's later concept that Christ is the Logos, which happened in John 1 through 18, with the conclusion that these concepts were too late for Paul's time. However, there is no reason to assume that Paul was unaware of Christ's work as creator, especially in view of Philippians 2:5-11. Okay, so what they're saying here is that they're kind of saying that Paul, you know, since Paul came later after John wrote verses 1 through 18, that he would not have knew these concepts, but he did know.
It's two scriptures there. It's John 1:15-23. Or is it Colossians 1?
Yeah, Colossians 1:15-23 and John 1:18.
Okay.
We can compare to that Paul, even though John was written first,
mm-hmm.
Paul still understood the concept that John wrote about. Because
okay.
Paul's time came later.
Uh-huh.
But he still understood the concept. So, well, let's just read these two concepts of the Logos.
Okay. So, Colossians 1:15-15. Okay, Christ is supreme. Christ mm-hmm. is the visible image of the invisible God. He exists before anything was created and is supreme over all. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. It goes up to 20, right?
23,
okay. So this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Amen.
Right. Amen. So now when we go to John, because this is the proof that even though he came much later than John, but he still knew the truth about who Jesus was.
Yeah.
So John, verses 1 through 18, was just, you know, it's kind of like correlates with what Paul just said. And he says, in the beginning, the Word already existed.
Yes.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
He existed in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm.
God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light.
Amen.
The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowd, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, who he existed long before me. From this abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who he himself, God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us."
Amen. Wow.
No. Every time I read that, it's so beautiful. And it's so hard for me to believe, because, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, to us, it's just so crystal clear.
Yes.
That Jesus is God. And these verses clearly describe. But for people, like, say, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses, who do not believe that Jesus is God. They just say he's just the Son of God, created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the created Son of God. And even if you ask, because if you read their Bible,
yes,
John 1, because if you say to them, well, all you got to do is read John 1. Well, their Bible distorts all of this. In a way that is not what we see in our Bible.
Exactly.
It totally distorts this whole chapter.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't read their Bible.
Yep. So, only reason why I read it is because I was trying to tell somebody, and they showed me, the Jehovah's Witness. I don't know what setting we were in. I think she was somebody that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and we were talking about, it was at work. And it was somebody that I knew. And we were talking about John 1st chapter. And we were comparing it. And I saw that theirs were totally distorted. Because they even put in their Bible, God is in... It's in a little G.
Oh, no.
Yes, and the word was a small W, and God was in a little G. So I was just at a little G, my skin crawl. I was like, oh, no.
Exactly. That's why I can't. I cannot read their Bible, especially... Because even in Colossians, it's in a capital C.
Always when you see God or Christ it's in capital letters. It's a capital letter. So.
Exactly. Even Christ, the church, they're in capital letters. So I don't understand how they can put God with a little G.
Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Anyway, so it says here that however, there's no reason to assume that Paul was unaware of Christ's work as creator, especially in view of Philippians 2, 5 and 11, 5 through 11, where he talks about, Christ.
It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My goodness.
And it says it is also wrong to assume that the heresy refuted in chapter 2 refers to the fully developed form of the Gnosticism that did not appear until the second century. So what does that mean? The parallels only indicate that Paul was dealing with an early form of Gnosticism. Now, what is Gnosticism? Let me look that up. I think I know what it is, but every time I see that word, I forget.
Yeah.
What it means.
Welcome to the club.
Gnosticism, mm-hmm. a prominent heretical movement of the second century Christian church, partly of pre-Christian origin. The Gnostic doctrine taught that the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity, the demons, and that Christ was an emissary of the remote supreme divine being. Okay. All I know is that ain't something that I believe.
It doesn't even sound right.
It's a collection of religious ideas and systems that coalesced in the later first century AD Jewish and early Christian sects. These various groups emphasize personal spiritual knowledge above the proto-Orthodox teaching and tradition and authorities of the religious institutions. Here is what is the Gnostic in simple terms?
Now,
the Gnostic itself is derived mm-hmm. from the Gnos, meaning knowledge. At the core of all versions of Gnosticism is the idea that only through attained secret knowledge can people find their salvation and overcome the material world. Ain't got nothing to do with Christ. That's
exactly. So the dictionary says it's a prominent heretical movement of the second century Christian church, party of pre-Christian origin. Gnostic doctrine taught that the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity, the Demiurge, and that Christ was an emissary of the remote supreme divine being. Hey, ecstatic knowledge.
No, that's the same definition that I read, and it's not clear. But
exactly.
Here it says,
of whom enabled the redemption of the human spirit. Ah, that's crazy.
Says that Jesus is identified by some Gnostics mm-hmm. as an embodiment of the supreme being who became incarnate to bring the knowledge to the earth, while others adamantly deny that the supreme being came in the flesh, claiming a human who attained enlightenment through Gnosis, which is knowledge, and towards his disciples the same. Okay, so we know this is not anything
no.
right.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to end at date and setting.
Yes. Well, now we're going to get into the narcissism. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it's like, You know, that's why I say the more you read God's word, the more understanding you get.
Yes.
About all different kinds of things. You've been
right.
Okay. So, precious and heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson tonight. Thank you for opening up our ears to hear what narcissism means. Lord God, we know that it has nothing to do with you. But we are thankful that we know you. We are thankful that we know your Son. We are thankful that we know your Holy Spirit. So, God, we ask and ask that you again protect the nation of Israel and to watch over each and every one of us, watch over our families, our friends, our enemies, Lord God. Even they have their families that are being eliminated from this world. But, Lord God, the cruelty that they are doing to the children, we ask that you allow them not to continue doing that, Lord God. I mean, even if you're taking their lives, please don't allow them to disfigure their bodies, Lord God. Lord God, we just thank you for life. We thank you for strength, health, wisdom and understanding, and we ask, Lord God, that you put in the minds of those in authority to come to some kind of conclusion that war is senseless, and in the end, nobody wins. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we know that there is nothing impossible for you. So, Lord God, we lift up everyone tonight. We lift up Ukraine. We lift up Israel. We lift up Palestine. All those that are in war, Lord God, we lift them up to you. Let your will be done in each and every one of these situations and bring some kind of peace to these nations, Lord God. We ask this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. But we know that it is already done in his name. Amen, amen, and amen. Whoa.
Yes.
Thank you, God. So, my dear, you have a good night.
You too. You too. Okay, bye.
Good night, and we're going to leave out tonight on all... to the glory of God.
Amen.
Good night. Yes. Love you.
Good night. Love you too.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. In the fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain.
the diamonds and all the gold. For as far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on the fire.